Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
We're all going to die.
Sunday night, late night radio. What fun.
Or that way.
One, two, three, four.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Take me rock away from here. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Okay, let's get this party started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode here on Francie and Friends. We've kind of been, you know, out of service a little bit because, you know, everybody's sick. And this is the point when I would say that we have Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer cannot be here. He is not feeling well. And William Brower, who is... Well, he's driving his, he couldn't make it tonight also. But who cares? We got Chuck Chapman.
Yay.
Okay, then I got somebody out here. We're pulsating. So what we're going to do tonight, William Brower, Tom Sawyer, they cannot be here tonight. So instead we got Nicholas Grabowski. Oh, sexy boyfriend.
Yay. Yes. Hello, world.
Hello,
world. Everybody listening. It's so groovy.
And we also got a new guy that nobody's ever heard of before. Freddie Gardner, are you there?
Yeah, what's up? I'm trying to get my hair to... act right. You know, the rain's making it do crazy shit, but I'm doing what I can. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing good!
So we're really excited because we do love Chuck Chapman, and you know the crazy thing is Chuck is not called in yet. Chuck. All right, Nick, I know you got a lot going on with Black Betsy Books. What's going on, baby?
Yeah, a lot is going on. Actually, we just released recently Deborah Zaitch's book, The Stretch Man, and Age Scott and Raina Young's book, which is really nice, Tales of Hip-Hop Horror, Thug Death, which is great. We're going to be having them on the show very soon here, too. And right now I'm shaping a book called The Living Must Die by Bill Davidson, author of The King of Crows. It's a very, very unique zombie book. And he's from Scotland, and I'm doing the world premiere of The Living Must Die. It's gonna be great once it comes out this week. And Azura Knox's book is also coming out, The Girl That You Fear, and all kinds of other juiciness. Also, Jenna Rosa Carbone's Cut Me Open, Make Me Whole, which everybody's been anticipating. And it has to do with American Indian legend and hospitals and spirits and psycho people, basically in a nutshell. And that is coming out this week also. So we probably have like a good like three or four titles coming out by the end of this week. And always look up Black Bedsheet Books at blackbedsheetbooks.com. And also we have a group page on Facebook, which is Jammin', and an official page on Facebook, which is Groovy Too. So all kinds of stuff. And we have a Black Bedsheet Books author with us tonight too, Chuck W. Chapman, who I published his Charles Manson novel, Family Man. And
which is
the slasher killer book, Freak on a Moped. So I mean, you know, and he sent me a book that's going to be coming out next year, which we will probably, yeah, talk about. So, yeah, so all kinds of things going on. Also, The Blood Red Knight of Hatchet Valley is going to be coming out also.
Okay,
so
Chuck's messaging me on Facebook right now, and he keeps saying every time he tries to call in, he keeps getting a busy signal.
Uh-oh. A busy signal.
He just said, I keep getting a busy message.
Uh-oh. It's area code 319-527-6082.
Yeah, I texted him the... I'm going to say, Chuck, try again.
Yeah, please try again. It's Chuck's show. He's got to call in. He's just got to. Otherwise, we'll just gossip about him.
Did you know that he slept with Demi Moore?
He did?
That's the only name I can come up with on the top of my head.
Oh.
But it's a good room to
wow.
start, you know. It's a good. At least I didn't say like, you know, the Will Smith.
Didn't he have a relationship with Eileen Quinn, who played Annie? I think he did at one point. He had a relationship with Annie. Eileen Quinn, Annie, or maybe he.
Yeah,
no,
he's,
I think that's right.
He's still trying. It says all circuits are busy. I didn't know I had circuits.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what that could be, because we've never come across that before at all. With all circuits are busy, maybe, and he's using a cell phone. Because I could think it could be the weather, but
yeah, that's what I was wondering, if it ain't got something to do with the weather.
But otherwise, we've never encountered that before. Well, hamsters. He's been doing a lot of touring and everything too, and his album turns out is doing really good overseas. I pay attention to a lot of what he posts, social media, everything. He's really doing good and very busy and very talented. Man, that guy, I mean, on top of the books, he's got his own band going around, making music, impressing people, having concerts in all nine yards, getting more and more of a fan base. It's just really great. Kudos. That's very impressive. Hopefully we can talk about that tonight.
All right, I'm checking my switchboard. I'm talking to him, and I did kind of. All right, let me refresh
what?
The. I'm refreshing.
Hamsters.
I love you, honey.
When I usually refresh, I use Mentos. Mentos freshens.
All right. Let me ask if he can get into. Can you hear the show? Maybe.
And yeah, because we've got a surprise that Gene Simmons
thinking that maybe I can get him to direct call into the show.
Perhaps. He's been on the show before too. So it's, I just can't wrap my head around it to give advice or direction. Never experienced it before. There's never been a dial, like a busy.
Oh, come on, honey. We always have problems with Blog Talk Radio. It's like, oh, yeah, it's Sunday night.
Well, not necessarily with Blog Talk Radio, but with just stuff.
Oh, wait. We got a caller.
Not a ring around the collar?
No. 929, you're live. 929.
I think they got stage fright.
It's not 867-5309?
Zip it.
While you're doing that, you should probably plug Honest Amish.
Oh, yes, that's right. We do got a couple of plugs. We do have Honest Amish. That is the
very honest.
And by the way, William and Tom. Okay, 929 hung up. William and Tom, I promise you, you're going to get your bars of soap. I wish I was a little bar of soap. I can go slippy sliding over everybody's hiney. Oh, I wish I was a little bar of soap. And Honest Amish is probably going to kick my ass for doing that song talking about their soap. It is the best soap in the world. I love it. Nick,
you can
you
have
try
an entire
it.
Soap opera with it.
Don't forget Aaron D. Johnston, who is the leading man, leading on this patron of going to patron. What the heck was that word? Why did I even say that? Anyway, so congratulations, Aaron D. Johnston. You're living the dream right now, selling this Honest Amish soap. Love you to death. Nick, you met him? Super nice guy.
Yep. He's the guy with the beard, isn't he?
Yes. Goatee. Got the goat beard.
Oh, it's
goat
yeah,
beard.
But it's big. It's
huge. It is really big. It's huge. So, yes, Aaron D. Johnston, Honest Amish, put in the Talking Beards as the code, and you get 15% off of every single order. Trust me, this soap is good. You're going to love it. And then also, we can never forget To the Rescue, Tommy Habib, out there rescuing the dogs, doing a fantastic job, a great cause. Look at To the Rescue. He's not saying donate money, but, you know, check him out. He's doing a great job. He's rescuing dogs and cats. You know, he's not just one. He's rescuing all of them. So check out To the Rescue. There's probably a website near you, and you. Why did I just say there's a website near you? Of course, all you have to do is type in, and
there's always a website near you.
You know what?
Honest Amish should get together with Tommy Habib, because that guy's beard is so big that it could be an animal shelter.
Aaron D. Johnston, Nicholas Grabowski's comments has nothing to do with Frankie and Frankie.
You could probably put a handful of puppies in there, keep them warm. But the Honest Amish soap is really good, though. I've used it. It is good. It is good, yeah.
Did he go slippy sliding over your hiney?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about private things.
Well, where's your sense of adventure, Nick?
It's too private. That's too personal, Francie. That's
Come
too
on,
personal.
Nick.
With hiney and soap things. It's just, if you're using Honest Amish soap in prison, just don't drop it.
Okay, I think Chuck is having a hard time getting through.
Oh, that just... figure that out.
If he is, maybe we can schedule it next week.
See, has he written back to you on Facebook?
I just got a ding. Let me see what's going on. Phone is still not connecting. You know what? No, wait. I have an idea.
Have an idea. Right.
I have an idea.
What idea?
All right. Now I got all these pop-ups. I don't even know. All right. He said, send me the number again. What I'm going to ask him for is his phone number, and I could probably call him from the switchboard.
That's what we're
going to do.
That's a possibility. In the meantime, I heard that the gerbils are still at war with the hamsters on the planet Woo.
Who's winning?
Hamsters, as usual. The gerbils always, like, mess up somehow.
Right.
They, like, leap around and, you know, with their kangaroo legs and stuff. And the hamsters have generals so cute to me to lead them.
Yeah, you can always count on that guy.
Yeah, and you could always count on a hamster fish, too.
Yeah.
He sometimes
Nick.
Shows up. What? Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm trying to do this. No, Nick, come here real quick. Leave your phone behind, though.
I'm typing to Chuck right now.
Yeah. I know I used to be able to call. Okay. Okay. I think I got it. I'm calling Chuck.
Hello.
Hey, is this
Chuck?
Oh,
is that really you?
It's really me. We finally made it happen.
I figured it out. I figured it out on my switchboard.
Is the switchboard just jammed? Is the switchboard just jammed with so many callers that I couldn't get in?
No, I don't know. Maybe there's a storm, and then I was like, hey, Chuck, give me your phone number, and maybe I can call you. And I figured it out on my switchboard. Oh, my gosh, you're the first person
I think that
I
there
call.
Were forces at work. There were forces at work preventing you from, but we overcame. We overcame
the
victory.
Government.
Yay. Victory.
It was the government trying to suppress the truth about the Manson case.
Probably. Or maybe
there
your
you
case.
Go.
Maybe you're getting up in the world. Maybe they're trying to, like, suppress you from changing the world with your music.
That's probably it. We will not let people be creative. We will feed them the same garbage we've been shoveling down on commercial radio.
So legit.
Okay, we do have Nick here. You know Nick. We also got a fellow South Carolinian with us tonight. His name is Freddie Gardner.
Okay. Hi, Freddie. How's it going, man?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing good.
I heard you're from Aiken, right?
No, Greenville.
Greenville, okay.
Oh.
Yes, Francie said you were from Aiken. I used to stay right in Pelion, which is right next to Aiken.
Yeah, nice. No, Greenville.
Yeah, Greenville.
Francie was off by a couple of hundred miles.
Right,
right. I lied to you, Freddie. I lied to you. No, Chuck, actually is.
You have the state correct.
Great to have you.
There's that.
It's great to have you back on. I mean, we totally adore you here at Francie and Friends. And when you say, I want to come back on, yes, when? Thank you. No, you're really a great guy, and I was hoping to get some of your songs because we've been YouTubing you all day. I love your song, Porn.
Porn? I don't have a song called Porn. That's
Porn.
My personal life. Torn. Oh, okay, different thing, different subject matter.
I was like, no, I've been watching you. That was you all day. You do have a song called Porn, right?
I do have a song called Torn, correct. Torn with a
okay,
T.
Good.
Yes.
Yes, I love that song.
Well, thank you.
I love that song. I just listened to it before we uploaded. I love your song, Torn. Is that a personal thing, or was that, like, how did you come up with the song? Because I love that song.
I think everybody has experienced their share of heartbreak, and I've probably experienced and caused my share of mine. So it's just about that. It's about an experience that everyone has had. Everyone's had their heart broken and had a hard time getting over it. So that's what Torn's about. It's not a specific instance, just a thing that happens, you know. It's not about one particular thing. It's about all 300 of the times it's happened. So.
Oh, wow. the song does
well,
sound
that's
very
not very
personal.
Many.
Well, it's about 50-50. I've probably had my heart broken about 150, and I've probably broken hearts about 150, so I guess it equals out. You get what you put in, right?
Do you get what you put in, and people get what they deserve? That sounds like that's a Kid Rock song, isn't it?
No.
But you know, you're getting what you deserve with all the stuff that I've been following you on. When you put enough energy and everything into it, you do get results. And you've been touring, and you've got two books out so far. Another book. Next year, early next year.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that one. How's that one coming along, Nick?
It's coming along all right, but I've got to get Christmas stuff out first. So I'm focusing on. But I think that one I'm going to slate for the beginning of February.
Okay.
Yeah, all said and done. So you're going to, like, help usher in the first couple of months of the new year right before spring. So you're going to be spring ready, which is our best. Yeah, believe it or not, it even beats Christmas. Spring releases are really important around here. So you're going to be about a month and a half prior to that. And then it'll start, like, snowballing.
Well, there's a lot of horror conventions and stuff in March, February and March and stuff. So I definitely want to get it for those if possible because, you know, I've got people already asking, you know, that already have the other two books. And when is your next one coming out? So that's a good thing.
Yeah, tell people what it's called and what it's about and everything.
It's gotten – oh, tell them now? Okay.
Yeah, tell them now.
It's called
– tell them now.
Yeah.
I thought you meant I've been telling people, and they're like, when's it coming out? It's called Poetry, Lyrics, and Other Cries for Help, and it is a collection of my poetry, my song lyrics, and my short stories.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be very unique for you. This is your first collection that's going to come out because the prior two were novels, and one is actually filmed and is a lost movie, Freak on a Moped. This is going to be unique because it's going to incorporate your lyrics and your music in it with short stories and everything. So I think that's going to be very good for you. I'm very excited to put it out. As usual, because, Freak on a Moped and Family Man are phenomenal novels. I mean, people that are listening, you got to buy this stuff. I mean, it's amazing. If that is your forte and your interest, even if you're not interested in Charles Manson, for example, I mean, it'll make you interested in it because the story itself, it's fictionalized, but it's based on real events. And if it was all just fiction, the way that he develops the characters is going to just like pull you in and get you involved in the story. For Manson fans, it's something that's unique because there's so many books out on Charles Manson, but none like this.
Definitely not like this. And honestly, I feel like it tells the truest version of events ever mass published. Even though I tell it through the eyes of a fictional character, you know, we do it presented as a historical fiction. You know, the historical part is extremely accurate, and in my opinion, more accurate than most of the things that are out there.
Yeah, in my opinion, too, because I've read a few. I went through a period of looking over serial killer books along with, Abbott and Costello books. Fancy that. The whole Manson thing, it's been very exhaustive over the years. You can only hear so much about that whole thing, and then all of a sudden this comes out, which, refreshes the whole thing and gives you a new perspective. It's amazing. And Freak on a Moped, that's a great, if it was filmed in the 80s, and we actually can hold a videotape of it, it would be one of the classic 80s slashers movies. That's the way that it reads.
Title, Freak on a Moped. That is like the best title ever.
You know, that's the genre I grew up watching and reading, and so it's really only natural that that's what I prefer to write about and the style that I generally am going to write in. Family Man was definitely a little different from my normal style. You'll see more of Freak on a Moped in poetry, lyrics, and other cries for help than you will a family name. I think you'll see the same character development, because I think that's super important. I think you need to have relatable characters, because if people can't relate to your characters and don't care about your characters, they're probably not going to care about your story. So I really try to make relatable characters that people either you know someone like that or it's you. So I try to make those, but, you know, then I put comedic twist on, and of course sometimes things get a little outlandish, but, you know, there's not a lot about horror that's not outlandish. That's what makes it so wonderful.
Yeah, and what makes your approach to writing is, unlike so many try again, and eventually everybody can, but you found your voice early on with that, with your writing style. Which is something very much to be said. It's really great. I think that your style of writing and your books are just as good, in my opinion, as your music. Just as what's the finger I'm trying to put on it, but it all has to do with talent. So you're a multifaceted.
I would agree.
If I try enough things, eventually I'll get good at one, you know, so that's why I keep trying things.
You know, there's really good, great musicians that they can't write a book. Well, they could do great music. But both.
That is true. Actually, I chuckled on that one, Nick. That is actually true.
It's true, too. We keep massaging your ego here. I mean, you know, but it's really true, Chuck. I'm very impressed with your work overall, all around.
Thank you so much. I mean, my ego is very fragile, so it can, you know, all the massaging you want to give it can take.
Well, here's another thing, Chuck, right now, to massage this even more. There's 12 pages of Block Talk Radio that's live right now. You're number 3. Not on the third page. You're number 3 in popularity right now. So there's a applause, amigo.
So I'm only the second loser. That's pretty impressive.
No, here's the thing also, okay? Not only are you a great writer and a great musician, we've been listening to your music all day, and I'm trying to find a YouTube downloader to play your music, to upload it on the switchboard, but now everybody's loading the spam. They want you to buy something before you can. But your music is freaking fantastic. We've been listening to it all day long. Me and Freddie,
you know,
we've been
Spotify.
Listening to music all day long. And not only are you a great writer, a great musician, a great singer, you're also a really nice guy.
I'll try to be. And that's the part that really you got to work at. You know, being the nice guy is the hard part.
Yeah.
Talk about your touring, you've been doing a lot of that.
Yeah, we've been staying pretty busy. We're, as far as I know right now, we're done for the year. We actually had a show Friday night that was our last scheduled show for 22, which is nice. Give me a little bit of free time. Maybe I can actually even get back to writing. I've already started on the fourth book. So hopefully I can get back on that a little bit. Plus, we have a new, you know, we have a record deal with Bentley Records. So they're the one that put out Burn It Down, the most recent album. And they want another record next year as well. Started writing songs for it already. So I've got about 4 tunes written for it. I've got to come up with 6 or 7 more for it. Lots of writing to do, so having a little extra time will be nice. Although I do have a lot of acting gigs this month as well, so not sure exactly how much time I'm going to have, but should have a little more since I won't be doing the music shows because the music shows are a lot of traveling. As of now, I think we've done or had shows booked in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Virginia.
Nice. And are you already at liberty to discuss any of your acting gigs, for example?
Sure. Mostly what I'm doing right now is I'm doing a dinner theater show here locally called The Dinner Detective, which is a murder mystery show in which I play one of the detectives. So it's a lot, it's about probably 60%, 40% improv. So every show is a little different. You have, you know, your killer's the same, your motives are the same, but you interact with the crowd a lot. And obviously the crowd's different every night, so that interaction's different every night.
Yeah, that's something, okay, I'm going to get the perspective of the actor. How does that feel? Like, is there times when you just stated that the crowds are different? Do you feel uncomfortable when the crowds are different? And how do you go about that?
Do you have any hecklers or hard people to, like, a hard audience to, like, convey to?
The audience in general is usually really good. You know, occasionally you'll have a couple of people that just really don't want to be there. You know, their wife drug them out or their friends drug them out or whatever. Right. But, you know, the last thing they want to do is try to challenge me, because basically I'm getting paid to make fun. If they try to cause any issues, then I just go at them that much harder. So it usually doesn't turn out well for anyone that tries to be disruptive.
Because we've had a lot of comedians on the show, and, you know, I've been at a lot of, not saying it's a comedy show, but I mean, they're still on stage. They're performing. And I've seen comedians getting beer bottles thrown at their head. And it's kind of like,
yeah,
how do you react to that?
Well, I've never had a beer bottle thrown at my head, thankfully. I guess that's how I would react. I would try to dodge it.
Yeah.
But no, like last night, I think we had 80 people, and probably 78 of those were having a great time. You know, you're going to have one or two, and, you know, well, for example, the guy last night had my phone upside down, and he wasn't wrong. I did. But I couldn't go, oh, whoops, sorry. So I just had to go, oh, well, I did that so I can get them out faster. And I'm like, you know, it's my job. I'm like, you know, hey, seconds count in my work. And, you know, it's my job to save seconds, and it's your job to eat seconds. And, you know, he was a little large guy, so he gave me no grief. He didn't give me any grief for the rest of the night, surprisingly.
Oh.
Wow.
You
tell him.
No, that's actually a really good step. Because I mean,
well,
performing,
you know,
life, it's not an easy task.
You know, I'm more comfortable on a stage than I am off of a stage. So I mean, I feel more natural, even though I get to play a character. So, you know, if you're on a stage, you get to be who you want to be instead of who you are. So that's what makes it very rewarding for me performing, whether it be music or, you know, an acting gig or whatever. At that point, I can live in fantasy land, and, you know, either I am that character at that point. And, you know, of course, musically, I've created, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter if I'm playing to a crowd of, you know, 25 or 30 people, or if I'm playing to a crowd of 500 or 600. You know, when I step on that stage, I'm a rock star, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm playing Madison Square Garden. So
nice.
That's kind of the attitude. And that's what I do, just like, you know, my character, my detective character, you know, he's a very suave ladies man, you know, who don't take crap from nobody. So I can be that if somebody crap. It's my job to throw it back at them, you know. So, you know, real life is a little more tricky than that. You know, real life, things come at you that you can't be prepared for. But, you know, Detective Tracy is always prepared, just like Rockstar Chuck is always prepared. Real Chuck sometimes doesn't have a clue.
That's actually really cool what you just stated, because, you know, in real life, yeah, you're this person, but when you go on stage, you're that person. David Bowie had that ego.
Well, I don't look at it as ego. I look at it, you know, because, I mean, if it was ego, it would be there off the stage, too. And off the stage, I'm kind of shy. You know? Believe it or not, I'm actually kind of shy, you know, away from a performing setting. But, you know, it's just, I think it's, you get to live in a fantasy, which is the same thing you do if you're reading a novel, hopefully, is you get to drawn into that story and you become a part of that story. That's one reason I like to write in first person a lot. I don't do it all the time, but one of the reasons I like to write in first person is I think that draws the person into the story, the person reading it, and you feel like you're part of it, even if you're just, okay, I'm sitting here listening to this, you know, this is someone I know telling me this story.
Yeah, it really does. You do that well. It just kind of reminds me of, there was once a time when I was working on a book called The Everborn on my parents' front porch with a notepad and paper and a bottle of King Cobra and some weed. And then I would get itchy and go to the nearest karaoke bar, and I would put my name up and sing a song, and I did it so well that I got a nice reception and people like hollering and yelling and going yay, and it made me feel really good, like you say about, you know, even though it's 100 people, it's like Madison Square Garden. Just like, you know, for like 15 minutes there, the whole experience. Then I'd like go out the back door and go back home, go back to my front porch and continue writing and go, God, that was like great. You're talking, it reminded me of back in those days.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Gene Simmons or Nikki Sixx or whatever. You know, after the show, you've got all these people wanting to take their pictures with you, and you'd sign things for them and all, or sign books or whatever. But when you go home, you still got to take out the trash, you know?
Yeah, you do. And you must, like, sometimes, like, just kind of sit quietly with yourself and kind of go back in your mind that last time on the stage and how good it felt.
You know, it's such a almost out-of-body experience that once, you know, an hour or two later, it's hard to actually go back. It's hard to mentally go back there. It's really weird. It is. It's almost such a different feeling and different experience that it's hard to replicate mentally. I mean, it's hard to even explain. I don't know. I said it's almost like an out-of-body experience, so you can't. But, I mean, it's literally a crash. I mean, when I'm done with a gig, you know, whether it be music, acting, whatever, you know, I'll crash afterwards. I mean, it's all I can do to stay out of depression and stuff. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I take plenty of antidepressants and stuff. But the biggest antidepressant is for me to be performing. You know, if I'm performing, all that stuff goes away. But, you know, it's just like any other drug. You get your high, but then when your high goes away, you hit the lowest, you know, you hit that low point, and the low is as low as the high is high.
Well, then, you know, what does help with that from experience, even though, you're far greater degree, when you get to the low points, just when you're by yourself, sit and remember how good that felt. If you remind yourself of how good that felt, it'll help carry you in the low points. And if that doesn't help, write it down. get a notepad out.
Well, that's where a lot of the horror novels come from.
There you go.
That's fine.
There you go.
I kill people.
Hey,
keep me from doing it in real life.
Yeah, that's what I always talk about when people get me going about talking about writing is, you know, you write what you know, but pouring your stuff out on paper. And I've said this many times before, there'd be a lot less school shooters if these kids just learned how to put it out on paper instead.
Well,
so writing is therapy, you know. Yeah,
they don't even make them learn to write anymore. You know, they're doing everything on computers now. And, I mean, I think that's a big part of the problems. And, I mean, I know we weren't supposed to, you know, weren't going to discuss world events and all. But I honestly think if there was more focus on creative outlets, creative writing, teaching music, you know, they're trying to take music and art out of school. They need to be emphasizing music and art, not pulling it out.
I absolutely agree.
More ways to get that creative expression, enough energy, and those feelings and those emotions out of you. Can relieve that. I mean, would it solve all problems? No, but I'll bet it would be a major help in some of them.
Yes, sure. And on top of that, you'll be surprised to find that when other people see that work of yours, they can relate to it. And so understanding that when people say, hey, I relate to this, and, you know, that always helps too. Affirmation.
I think the biggest thing is that anytime you struggle with depression or any kind of emotional or mental disorders or issues, you always think you're the only one. You think nobody ever feels like this but you. You know, nobody has ever experienced these emotions, these issues, these problems but you. And I think that does help. You know, if you see it in art, then you know, okay, somebody is going through this, and especially if it's someone you admire or respect or whatever. That's why for years I tried to hide that and, you know, felt ashamed of it. And lately I'm just like, okay, I'm going to be upfront about this. I'm going to let people know, because if there's somebody out there that enjoys my work, enjoys my music, enjoys my writing or whatever, and I can encourage them and let them know that they're not alone, you know, and if there's help out there, other people love you.
Yeah,
you're talking about this, and I really had a personal experience with this. My younger brother, he's my younger brother. He's the smart one. He's the one who's got everything together. You know, and that's what we thought. You know, he sent us, me and my mom, he sent us a text message on Facebook together, and he's like, hey, I've already taken the medication. The pain has been going on for so long. I've already taken the medication. I just want to let you guys know that I love you. And this is goodbye. Thankfully, the medication that he took didn't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's major issue. That's another part of, I think, the bigger part. You know, they're going after guns and they're, you know, sending billions of dollars to a country that we have zero interest or assets or reason to be spending those money, when there's people here suffering in America with mental health issues that can't get help, that can't afford medication, that can't get in. You know, if you're not rich, you're not going to get in a treatment facility that's really going to be able to help you. You know, our government really needs to focus and put their money on mental health in America, and they would be amazed at how many of these shootings and these mass killings and people driving through crowds and stuff, how many of those things would go away.
That's absolutely true.
I think they're doing it on purpose, some of them, but that's for another story.
You almost
what I wanted to ask you, I didn't change the subject a little bit, but I've been wanting to ask you this tonight about
your music
and your band. Who's involved in your band? How did that form? Do you have the same band members each time that you go on tour? Or is it the Chuck W. Chapman Band? Do they have input? Blah, blah, blah.
I've been in music so long, and I got mostly out of it for quite a while. And one of my biggest regrets is that I did kind of abandon music for a while, just because I thought it was too old. I'd been to a certain level, thought I'd reached the pinnacle, and I probably did, of where I was going to get. And it was just, I got away from it. One of my biggest regrets. And now I had the opportunity to get back in, so I got back in and I dove in with both feet. The drummer, Joe Tenay, is my drummer. Joe played with me in a cover band for about 12 years, but that was over 10 years ago. He was with me way back then, and he played drums on the little four-song EP I put out in 2020 that ended up leading to the deal with Bentley Records and stuff, so that we put the new album out. A guy named Todd Duncan is my bass player. Todd has been, we started trying to put something together like before COVID. Nothing really ever happened until this record deal came about. And, he was, of course, the first call I made. And then Joe, so that nucleus was there. And then it took us forever to find a lead guitar player that was suitable. And, there's not a lot of money in original music. Unfortunately, people would rather play bands to play the same crap that they hear on the radio every single day than to actually come up with something creative and new and different.
Oh, like a lot of top 40 bands that just get gigs in bars for a living.
So most of the musicians that want to play, especially the older guys, they want to just make some extra money. So they're going to play in the cover bands and, not care about creating and making original music. And I was just tired of doing that, Plus I had these songs. I had this, these things that I want to get out. Because again, it's, expressing yourself. It's getting these stories out there. Well, a song is just a 3-minute book, or a 4-minute book or whatever. So it was hard to get people. So a friend of mine that we met through the movie I did, through He Drives at Night, some of his music was in my film, and he plays for several people. He plays with Al Harlow, who was in Prism. He played with Thor. So I just reached out to him and said, hey, man, I'm having trouble getting a lead guitar player for this. I have this record deal. I've got a deadline. I need to get these songs recorded. Would you be willing to help me out? So he was gracious enough to do it and just went above and beyond the call of duty. A guy named Kevin Stewart Swain from Ontario. And eventually I found a local guy here that I had, strangely enough, went to high school with, but he had moved away and he was moving back. So Perry Dillard, I said, we had known each other since high school. So when he was moving back to the area and he saw that I was looking for someone, he reached out. And so that's been the fit. So that's been the four. And so that's the touring band. And that will more than likely be the band. Hopefully that will be the band for a while now and going forward. I just used my name for a couple of reasons. One, I have had experience so much before where you lose members and stuff, and it just made it easier. If it's my name, then if I do lose members, and I hope I don't, but if I do, then it's still me. Also, I already had a decent online presence because of the film work I've done, because of the books, and then already had that online presence with Chuck W. Chapman's. I didn't want to start over and have to build a new online presence. And also, I got the record deal as Chuck W. Chapman because that's what I released the EP under. So it just made things a lot easier just to keep it that way.
That's So most of the music is yours, or do you have any band input, or how does that work?
Well, so far I've written everything. I write the I write the music and lyrics. I pretty much rely on my drummer to come up with drum parts. Occasionally I'll have an idea and say, can you try this here or whatever. Same thing with the bass player, lead guitar player. But in general, they come up with their own parts. I don't tell them what to play. If it's not what I feel is right for the song, I'll say, hey, let's try something a little different. But in general, they do a good job because they know what I want. They know what the music calls for.
I got you playing in the background right now.
I hear that.
Oh.
let's play it.
Hey, Mo, look.
There you are. Let's play a song. Can you hear it?
I can hear it.
All right, let's do it. All right, let's take a timeout. Well, no, we're not taking a timeout. We're playing your music. Thank you.
Love it. I like that.
Love it.
Did you say that flaps?
Flaps with an S.
Love it. That is like the, I mean, you got the metal guitar, you got everything. Everything is, love it. Period. Put a stamp on it, like, love it.
Yeah, it was a little echoey and stuff out here.
Yeah, we got a couple of phones.
Yeah,
on,
she didn't upload it because of time constraints and things.
That was the best I can give you. If I tried to download the song on the MP3, load it up on the switchboard, I had to like look at all the spam and I'm like, no, next. And I did take a nap, I'm sorry.
But it is on Spotify and iTunes and Apple Music and Deezer and basically anywhere that you could want to find it, it is available. So you can just look up W. Chapman and hear the real version.
Like doing really good overseas, I hear. There's a South African thingy. Talk about that.
Some radio station in, I think, Nigeria just kind of picked up on it, and it went to number one on their station.
Nice!
So that, and they've been playing it pretty much nonstop from the time it first came out. And it also went to number five on the rock single charts in England. And, I mean, it was right there with, like, Metallica, you know, Bruce Springsteen and Metallica, and There I Am, you know, right there in the middle of it. So that was really cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wouldn't that be great if you got so big in, like, Nigeria that they paid for a plane trip and a concert, and there's all these Nigerian people, like, rocking to your music.
Well,
that would be a
The problem is... I have to have a real job, so I can't leave to go to Nigeria for a month. But they did reach out to me and said that they would be willing to sponsor a tour there and stuff. But like I said, right now we're not at the point that we can all quit our jobs and, you know, go play to Nigeria for a month or anything.
Yeah.
In my luck, I would end up in a South African prison. And there's no way that Biden would trade to get me.
When you're there, you got to be aware of those Nigerian scams. You heard of those. That's just a joke. At Nigerian 911, I even have a... There's a book that somebody gave me all about the... India now is the hub for, like, calling you and saying that they're... Microsoft, but it was Nigeria. Your music changed them, Chuck.
You know, this Nigerian prince keeps reaching out to me, but, you know.
Prince? A real prince, legitimately?
No, it's an old scam where the Nigerian prince sends you
a
L.A. Yeah.
Please do not reach out to the Nigerian prince.
Yeah,
or princess. I'm a Nigerian prince. You know, if you'll send me $1,000, I will send you $1 million. You know?
So, Nick, please, if you get that, I got the joke before you did. Please do not send him $1,000. Remember, you're a Medicaid.
You know, sometimes when I'm working with black bedsheet books in my office and I'm doing stuff, I play like a soundtrack record. But on the TV next to me, I've got a walkthrough from a guy walking with his camera through like the streets of a foreign country, and sometimes it's like Ghana or Nigeria or South Africa, just through some of the cities, some of the slums. I just have that on in the background. I don't know why I'm so fascinated with it. And a lot of times when they do that, you hear different music. That would be really cool if one of those, like, walkthroughs in Nigeria, somebody in a house while they're walking past and is playing one of your songs.
It can happen.
If I come across that, I'll, like, you know, go, oh, my God, it's Chuck.
Yeah, please forward it to me. That's really neat.
Chuck, let's do another song. Chuck, you want to hear you singing again? Okay, here we go. Here's another Chuck song. I love this song, by the way.
Yeah, that's the one that went to number 5 in England.
Oh. But it still showcases what the music is about, and Chuck's rock and roll all the way, but there's like a kind of a unique sound to it in a way, and a passion, which really the whole passion in the vocals.
It definitely has a sound to it that you don't hear every day like that.
You know, earlier I was talking about with Chuck's finding his voice early on with his books. It's the same thing with the music. You know, he's found his voice. So if you listen to Chuck Chapman's music enough, you'll be able to distinguish it right away from others, which is something to be said about all creative aspects of everything, whether it's book, music, acting. You know, when you have a uniqueness, people actually know, you know, oh, that's Harrison Ford. Oh, you know, that's Aerosmith. That's Steven Tyler's voice. Oh, that's that style. Or Ozzy Osbourne and stuff. So I think that Chuck, this point in his life, if I may say so, Chuck, you've found your voice in all aspects of your career going from this point forward and beyond. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I've come to the point that, you know, I am what I am now. It's not necessarily, you know, I'll listen to stuff and some of my favorite bands, and I'll go, oh, I want to write a song that sounds like that. And I'll do that, and it'll still sound like me, no matter how hard I try to sound like something else. So it's kind of, you know.
You're not trying to sound like some. Well, maybe you got inspiration from other people, but, I mean, still, it's uniquely you. So you got your stamp on everything that you do.
I do, for better or worse. It's definitively me, that's for sure.
Yeah. and that's really great. And that's one thing that, if you keep going the way that you're going and everything, you're probably not going to need that job of yours, hopefully, at some point in the future.
We all
have to have a side job, make a living or something, you know, to pay the bills. But, I mean, man, you know, you're not only do you have this unknown side job, but you've been touring as a musician and you have books out and you do your acting gig. So when do you sleep?
Not that often.
Yeah.
I generally, if I have a day off, today was my first day off in about 3 weeks from not having either work or performance of some sort or something. So if I have a day off, I do end up sleeping for most of it. But other than that, that's about it.
Wow, yeah. Well, talk about ambition and the whole nine yards. That's an amazing person. The world must pay attention. And by the way, I'm privileged to have published you.
And I'm privileged to have you have published me. I've always said, you know, I'm so grateful for you doing that and you believing in me for those, because, you know, I don't know if my writing would have ever gotten out there without you.
Thank you for that.
If Random House comes calling now, you know, but we may have to change. But otherwise, you know, I have no interest in working with anyone else. You've been great to me, and I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming to me and showing me, now that I'm thinking about it, person that brought us together is Joe Moe. With the Day of the Dead convention stuff.
Yes. Yep. Good old Joe Mike.
Yeah. You contributed to one of them, and then one thing led to another. You sent me Family Man, and I published that. And then you said you got Freak on a Moped. It gave me the whole history behind that. Freak on a Moped, I really wish that someday that footage can be resurrected legally. That's such a shame. But I mean, looking at throughout our relationship with all this stuff, it's like everything's flashing before my mind. But yeah, back in the day. One thing led to another. Thank God for Joe Mo.
That's right. For sure.
And, yeah, because I was really impressed. That's the kind of one of the things I'm looking for as a publisher is something that's unique and a voice behind it that that has something going for it. I mean, anything can work if it's good enough. As far as me as a publisher, somebody that nobody's ever heard of, has no ambition, they wrote this thing in a closet and they sent it to me. If it's really good, then yeah. But when somebody sends something to me and they have an ambition attached to it and they have other things going on, that makes it more, you know, better. I mean, because the stuff I published of yours, you're going around saying, I have this. Buy it, along with your music and everything. And this is something else I do. So, you know, it's attached to you with a greater ambition. And I wish all of my authors, had that kind of going for them. I mean, everybody's unique, and everybody has their own lives.
No point. You know, to me, there's no point doing this if you don't want, you know, to share it with people. I mean, if you just write stories for yourself or write music for yourself, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, But if you feel like you're given these things, these are gifts, then you should give them away. You know, you, and I don't mean give them away as in not charge for them. I mean make them available for public consumption.
But not just that, though, but like we were talking about before about depression, it's an outlet. And if you show it to the world, you will find that people will relate to that. And so just writing shit down and then presenting it to the world and doing it right. I mean, I get a lot of submissions where people make attempts and they don't know how to write and everything's all sloppy and it's like you have to take it seriously and you have to do the right grammar. You have to, you know, because writing is an art form. You have to convey it to the world on paper with words. And then you let your soul out once you learn that dialogue.
Yeah, you know, to me, everyone's writing a book. You know, so many people you talk to, I'm writing a book. Well, but they never get it out, you know, and I don't know. One thing is so easy, but, you know, if you don't put work into it and you don't put effort into it, nobody's going to read it. Or if they do, they're never going to read anything else you write.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If I send stuff to you, it's because I feel like it's good enough for people to read or to see. Same thing with the songs. I meant for every song I record, I probably wrote another 10 or 15 that I thought was complete garbage and threw away.
Yep, right. Yeah. It has to be something that you work on because of the simple fact that you're presenting it to the world. You know, it's an extension of you. You want to do your best at doing that.
Yeah, and I've started writing songs and stories and whatever, and if I lose interest in them, then that tells me they're probably not very good, because if I can't stay interested in them, what makes me think a reader's going to stay interested in them or listen?
Yeah, that's true. That's an ultimate truth with just about anything, too. Probably with music, you could record something you think that sucks, but it's recorded and then showed to somebody else and they say, hey, that rocks. But with writing, it's a little bit different, where if you're not satisfied, it shows in the writing itself. It shows that you're disinterested. I've noticed.
Yeah,
anyway.
And like you said, you know, I mean, you said you can hear the passion in my voice. I think that's something that's missing from a lot of music now, is I don't hear any passion. I hear just some guy talking over a loop or a backbeat, and, you know, it's just, there's no passion involved in that. There's no emotion involved in that. You know, what good, I mean, to me, it's not art if it doesn't convey some sort of emotion.
And there's another point in that that's unique to music from other, like writing books or something, is you can really have a song that essentially sucks ass, but if you record it the way you convey it, it's like one thing that comes to mind is "Oh baby, you got what I need, but you say you're just a friend." Something like,
He's just a friend.
He's just a friend. And he doesn't have the vocals. he's just poking in the video on the piano with just a couple of fingers. And it sucks, but the way that it's presented is commercial. If you get what I mean, if you get who I'm talking about.
His Marky song was actually great. I think it was more comic relief than anything.
That's the way it was marketed as. There's others, and you know, and Bob Dylan is a great talent. He's not a great vocalist, but he expresses himself. It's his passion behind his voice. There's a lot of vocalists that Tom Waits, I mean, he seems like he's been smoking for 200 years.
The way he presents himself. They're great singers, you know. They just learn how to take what they got and make it beautiful.
Yeah. It's just all personality and passion behind that thing. You could take a mute, like I said, something that completely sucks, and you can turn it into, like, something that's on fire just from the passion.
Well, stuff like The Voice and American Idol and stuff, to me, is just killing music because they want just this cookie cutter. You have to look a certain way. You have to sound a certain way. And, you know, if they had been around, if that's the way people were getting discovered in the 60s and 70s, you know, we would have no Tom Petty. We would have no Stevie Nicks. We would have no Bob Dylan. We would have no, you know, any of these people, that Willie Nelson, any of these people that are icons, because they didn't look right and they didn't fit a certain mold and sound a certain way. You know, that's what I'm learning music now, is that everything's so cookie cutter and disposable, and, you know, every girl artist looks alike, every guy artist looks alike. You know,
I completely agree, especially with, like, TV shows that showcase, you know, like American Idol and stuff, and they make it, when somebody steps on stage, they make you feel sorry for them or, like, achieve some kind of an emotion. Some of them are really good. But when it boils down to it, though, it's all just a showcase. What else can they do? I like watching some of it just for the novelty, but it is a novelty show, and it has nothing to do with the real music industry. That's my opinion.
Yeah, there's great bands. There are so many good bands out there and good artists out here playing every club on every weekend, that they're playing to like 15 people and 20 people, that they'll never get a chance just because, you know, they're not 27 and beautiful, you know, and have that certain voice. And that's just a shame. You know, nobody looks to discover bands that are out there kicking their butt trying to do it their old way anymore. You know, if you've got to win some contest, and I mean, that's just
and
sad.
And you know what,
part
Chuck,
of
there once was a time where, like in the hair band days in the 80s, where if you toured a lot and just, like, you know, gave it your all, if your music was good enough, you'll get attention as they always did. And they had no American Idol back in those days. That was raw shit. And nowadays it's all like candy coated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I get 100% what you're saying. I see it. Like, you know, like I see it with the will I can see. So I can't really.
Well, let's see. Who have we? We pissed off modern music fans. We've pissed off the government.
Well, that's what we do on Friends and Friends. We pissed off everybody.
Okay. I was just going down, seeing who we've missed, you know, so we make sure we don't leave anybody out.
A lot of stuff about your music, too, is it's not like the pop stuff nowadays. And there's some good rock nowadays that exists, but it's not like back in the day. Your stuff to me is like more back in the day. It's that raw, like, and it's not exactly garage band. It's the stuff that you recorded is a little more than that. But it's rock and roll, man. And it's like everything that passion talking about all that. I could go on and on. What time is it? We could go for 3 hours about me talking about your shit.
Oh, I have no idea what time it is. I don't keep up.
Okay, I was going to say, is anybody there?
But, yeah, So
they haven't cut us off yet. We're okay, right?
No, they haven't cut us off yet, so I'm trying to think of what else to say. I've been giving you accolades left and right. Talked about the band, talked about the music, talked about the books, talked about... is there anything on the horizon you're thinking about doing? Like, you were talking about acting and that stuff. Do you, have you been pursuing or are going to be involved in, like, any independent, like, film projects or audition for anything as an actor?
Not really. I mean, I really don't have time right now, so that's kind of being backburnered for now. I am going to be directing Little Shop of Horrors at one of the local theaters here in August.
Oh, my God. Well, that's something to be. Why the hell didn't you say that in the first place? That's amazing.
So I do have that coming up. And
That's awesome. I'm a big fan of Little Shop of Horrors ever since the Roger Corman thing, and I got the special edition with all the, from the movie. I listen to the soundtrack all the time. I know everything by heart. Love Little Shop of Horrors. So you're involved in that.
Right.
Wow. Is it going to be based on the original theatrical play?
It'll be the musical version.
Awesomeness. How are you preparing for that?
I don't do auditions until, I think, March or May. Let's say May, I think, is the auditions. I don't know. I have to look at my calendar. But sometime after the first of the year, I'll pull out the script and start reading and read through it again and just go ahead and start getting it mentally. You know, I have my set pretty much in mind already, so I'll just start mentally constructing my blocking. For anyone that doesn't know what blocking is, that is the movements that the actors make when they're saying their lines or singing or whatever they're doing. So I'll go through
and
you know, I'll just make
it. It like all together with like the puppetry work and the stage settings and the whole thing?
Right, yeah. So I'll just, you know, kind of go through all that in my head and then start making notes in the margins of the script about what I want to happen at each of these points and stuff. And, you know, by the time we start doing rehearsals, then I'll have all that pretty much already written out and prepared, so I can start giving it to the actors then, because, you know, I like, as an actor myself, I hate to rehearse and not have my set in place and not have my blocking in place, because to me, all those things kind of interlock and relate to each other, and to me, it's hard to really learn your lines until you know your movements and you know what you're working around and stuff. So I try to get those in place as quickly as possible to make it easier for the actors. So I'll try to have all that.
Does this production have anything to do with your other stage work?
No, this is totally separate. This will just be a local
community.
Totally
separate with different like people, like financing and everything.
Yeah, like I said, it's just a community theater, a local live theater. So.
Yeah, you know what? You just keep impressing me over and over. You keep impressing me with all the stuff you do. You're doing a Little Shop of Horrors. You're a stage actor with that, and then you got a band with your original music, and you've got two books. Three next year, and
hopefully
you got to be freaking kidding me. and I'm a big, like I said, Little Shop of Horrors fan. That's so. when that starts to happen, keep letting me know, and I'll, like, you know, promote that. Send me photos or something.
I can do that. Yeah, it, you know,
progress.
It's just a local product.
Wow.
But it's fun. I mean, like I said, I feel like I was born to entertain. You know, I like making people laugh. I like making people smile, making people forget their problems for a while. You know, hey, that rhymed. That needs to be a song or something.
I was going to say that rhymed. Yeah.
I have to write that one down before I forget it. Yeah. But,
yeah.
I mean, it really is. I really feel like that's sort of my purpose in life. So.
Wow.
You know, that's. I enjoy doing this stuff. I mean, it helps. It makes me happy to see other people happy.
That's the way it works for us creators.
All right,
wanna make people
we are
joy.
About to no longer be live.
Uh-oh.
An hour and a half.
I want to thank you guys for having me. Usual. It's great talking to you.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Chuck, for everything you do. And we're going to get this book going, as said, for, like, the beginning of February, around about. And I'll keep you posted with that, and keep me posted with everything you do. And I'll exploit it on social media.
I have
my
first.
Check out what my author is doing now.
Yeah, I have my first horror convention February 17th, so it'd be nice to have those books in before then.
Awesomeness. Oh, I'll make that a point.
Yeah, because that's a big one,
so
I'd be love to have them by then.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's going to be groovy cool. I thank you for everything you do. We appreciate you. And like I said before, I'm really glad, that Jomo introduced us with that initial short story, and it led to a beautiful friendship. Stefan, you got it. Whenever
sure.
you're in California, especially, let me know. Let us know.
I definitely will.
That would be awesome. I'd love to meet you in person someday. And not at my funeral.
Yeah, we'll try to make that happen.
Yes. Yes, indeedy.
Definitely.
All right. So, yes, dear.
So, Freddie.
Yes, sir.
Ed, there's Freddie. Freddie, do you have any questions for Chuck?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
Oh, groovy.
I'm a little new to this, man. I'm kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Freddie, don't worry. You're just going to go live around the world. He's like, what?
Right. But it was good to meet you, man. You sound like a very interesting person. Repping for South Carolina, you know, like that.
Representing South Carolina, SK in town.
Representing, man. Yeah, it's 12:30 here on the East Coast, so Freddie's probably going to sleep already.
Oh, man, I got such a strange case of insomnia and a weird sleep schedule, and it just doesn't work that way for me.
Yeah, I came from South Carolina to California. He's like, what time is it? I'm 3 hours behind.
Yeah.
Right. Chuck,
I'm about to finish up this book, this really great zombie book from Bill Davidson in Scotland. That's one of the most unique ones I've read, and there's many. So I'm going to probably announce that tomorrow and have, like, about three or four more coming up by the end of this week. So, you know, we're really this. Actually, this year, with Black Bedsheet, I've come out with more books, 15 so far, than I have in the past at least 6 or 7 years. And by the end of this year, I'll probably have 20. So, wow, you've been very busy. Very busy. I stay up until like 4 o'clock in the morning doing...
We're about to be cut off. Chuck, is it okay if I call you just for a few minutes after the show?
Sure thing.
All right.
Groovy. Groovy good.
All right.
Okay,
Sunday
Chuck,
night, late night radio.
As always,
what
I really
fun.
Appreciate you.
Well, that way.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Woke up this morning looking for me.